Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. Now, I have a bunch of new stuff that I'm planning to do a bunch of giveaways. I really did a few giveaways leading up to Creative South, and I really enjoy just giving away stuff. So go to passionbehindtheart.com to sign up, and I'm going to be doing exclusive shows and giveaways and discounts and just giving back to you awesome people that have been listening to this podcast. Thank you for everyone that purchased a shirt from Cotton Bureau, the podcast shirt from Cotton Bureau. Can't wait to see you guys. Once you get your shirt, like, share a pic with you wearing it, and you may just get something. Matter of fact, you are. So share a pic with once you get your Passion Behind the Art shirt, and something will be on your way. And just hashtag Passion Behind the Art, or tag the podcast handle, which is PBTA Podcast. All right, so let's jump into this week's episode. Another awesome individual.
Welcome, Creative South. This is Daryl from the Passion Behind the Art podcast. And today I have a special guest, the winner of my ticket giveaway, Maria Black. Maria!
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Maria, how did your journey start in design?
Growing up, I would always help. My mother's a school teacher, and so I would always do her bulletin boards for fall and calendars and special events. And I didn't know it was graphic design then, but when I went to high school, we had a graphic design program, and I...
Oh, cool. So what made you feel like, okay, I wanted to jump and go on my own?
I like being in control of my schedule and the projects I get to take on, and... just having that flexibility of being able to work on Monday and go to your kids' play on Wednesday. And
okay, cool. So who would you say was your support system in, like, keeping you going? Who do you draw energy from? Like, who are those people in your life?
Well, I got married when I was 19. So Lane, my husband, has been a big support system. He worked so that I could go to college and get for graphic design. And then he's just been super supportive about any career moves or doing something scary like freelancing. And he always pushes me to be better and to stretch my comfort zone.
So, all right, so we're here at Creative South. How did you, like, hear about this? What made you get involved? Like, how did this happen, this Creative South thing?
Well, we've moved around a lot just for jobs. And when we got back to the South, I ran across Diane Gibbs' Design Recharge podcast. And this was last spring, right after Creative South. And she was doing, like, a recap. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, right down the road. Like, where have I been all these years? But so then I reached out to Diane, and we became friends, and she just helped me get plugged in and how to volunteer and what to do and what to expect, and it's been really great.
Oh, cool. So you actually were in Alabama, and you didn't know that this was going on?
Yes, but I was in Oklahoma for the 5 years before that.
Okay.
So... when it started, I wasn't in the South.
Okay, cool. So, all right, so now you're at Creative South, so this is your first year. What do you think?
It's really great. Everybody's really friendly. You can just walk up and have a conversation with anybody. It's a little overwhelming for my introvert self, but everybody's really great, and you know, just hey, come to lunch with us, or you know, come sit with us and watch these talks. And there've been some phenomenal people on stage. So,
oh, awesome! So, what would you say, like in your journey of being a creative, or in just in life, what would you say was the hardest struggle you had to overcome?
I would say the hardest struggle, the obvious one, is time. You never have enough time for what you want to do. But sometimes self-doubt creeps in. You might be comparing your artwork to somebody else, and it makes you doubt yourself. But we're all on our own journey, and we have to remember, you know, I'm walking my own path that might not look the same as my neighbor, even though their work is beautiful and phenomenal and you're jealous. But you just keep working on the art that you want to produce, and you get a community around you that will give you good feedback and help push you out of your comfort zone and go further, so you can have breakthroughs and you can build up confidence and not doubt yourself so much.
Awesome. So now, how long have you been like working on your own? How long have you been running?
I've been on my own for about full-time 5 years.
Nice.
And then I did side gig freelance all through high school and college. And even when I had a full-time gig, I couldn't let it go because it's nice being able to pick up extra projects on the side. So
the famous question that every designer is asking, like, how do you get clients?
It depends. There are no real rules.
Right.
My very first solid freelance client that just came back to me day after day after day was from a full-time gig I had. And I reached out to my old supervisor and was like, I'm freelancing. Do you need any help? Is there any work that I can help you with? And she said yes. And now it's been 8 years.
Nice.
Freelancing with them as a client. And you build that credibility with them, and they'll word of mouth. And I've responded to job ads. You build a relationship with someone, and then they'll trust you to do some work. Because working remotely, people really need to know you and trust you, instead of you're just some person behind a screen. They know you're actually, you care about the project, and you want it to be successful, that you're in it too.
Right.
And you're not just, you know, a pixel pusher.
So, best practices, like, what would you say, like, to, I know there's no real reason, but, like, best practices for, like, communicating with clients and, you know, leaving a good impression after.
Okay. So, your best practices would be to always be honest and upfront about money, about timeline, about your capabilities. If you partner with somebody, a web designer, you know, you can tell them that. I have a team, an awesome team that I work with, or they're not designers. A lot of the times your clients aren't designers. So you have to just over-communicate, in a way, everything that you're going to do and what they can expect, so that they feel like they're part of the process and they're being taken care of. And they're not constantly wondering, oh my gosh, when is that going to get here? Or when is she going to be done with the logo? Or I don't even know what the process looks like. So you over-communicate. And I use email. I use Skype with my clients, Slack, the online collab tools like Active Collab or Trello. They're just building those threads to keep in contact.
Nice. So initially, new client, what's the best way to you going over the project with them, hearing what they got going on? Is it by email or by like a call?
A lot of times it's by email, just because speed. And I like having changes or feedback written down mm-hmm. so that when it's time to crack open that project and dig in and make some changes, I have something to refer to other than just my notes. I have exactly what the client has said. Other times I've used Skype and we will share screens and discuss a project live.
Right.
Where we're both giving feedback and we can really dig in and that's if you're like on a 911 project. That's right. Usually how it goes. We'll go through Skype. But I prefer any just communication to have that hard copy, have it written.
Like stuff in writing.
Yes.
Nice. Makes sense. So outside of design, what is Maria doing outside of design? Like what is...
Well, I have 5 children.
Nice.
So they're very active in school and lacrosse and dance. And then I sing in my church choir. I'm a first alto, so that's fun.
Oh, so you're going to sing for us right now?
No, but I ring handbells. If any person in the design world knows what a handbell is, come give me a high five. Don't leave me alone here.
That is funny. So you work full time and run a house of 5 children. Like, how is that balancing act?
It's luckily when my younger children were babies, I was only part time. So it was easy to, you only work 4 or 5 hours a day. So you could do it during naps. Or after bedtime, or before they wake up. Now, the older 3 are all in school, so I get a chunk of time, and the younger 2 go to preschool.
Okay.
So I'll get, like, 3 solid hours that I can knock stuff out, and then we have nap. And my husband runs a digital marketing company from home, proximity marketing. It's where you can send ads from a pod, a device that broadcasts it to people's phones through apps and stuff. So he is also working from home. So it's fun to balance. But I have a second pair of hands where if I'm like, I have to get this done right now, that the client needs it right now, that he can help me balance it out.
So that's cool. So both of you guys are kind of like working remotely.
Yes.
That's nice. So like if you need to like pick up and go somewhere, like you're still working, you still have your job.
Yes,
you still have your job
as long as we have internet.
Right.
No zombie apocalypse.
Need that Wi-Fi.
Yes, as long as we have internet, we're good.
But that's awesome. That is a very I know that's a goal of me and my wife's, to do the same thing, to be able, because we want to do a ton of traveling, like probably unhealthy the amount of traveling that we want to do.
Yes.
But we want to do a ton of traveling, and we want to be able to work and still do all of that, whatever it is.
Have life. Yeah, yes.
Yes. That we're doing. So what is that thing that you use all the time that you cannot live without?
That would be hard to...
Don't
I
say
have
your
to pick
phone.
One.
Outside of the phone.
Chocolate. Coffee. I use my little notebooks a lot because I'll always have one with me. So if I have an idea, I can jot it down. And my iPad Pro. I do love that thing. Sketch, doodle, make it come to life. And then you can watch the replay.
Right.
With the, it's like, oh, wow, look what I did. So.
Oh, that's cool. That is awesome. That is awesome. So what would you say is next? You're at this point, Creative Self. Like, what's some of the things that it's brewing in that creative mind of yours?
How I started my business was more out of necessity. And while I enjoy it, I would like to do other creative projects like hand lettering or some more pattern making, instead of all the publication and branding work that I do. So I would hope that I can possibly restructure how I take on clients and the timeline, how you book so that I can build more time in to pursue these other creative avenues that I haven't had the opportunity to do so.
Cool. So, like, what's some of the stuff when it comes to lettering? Like, what are you, like, some of the stuff that you have in mind?
I really just want to have a block of time to pour into learning the different styles and, you know, just all that practice. You need to go and practice and practice and practice to get even remotely okay. And I feel like right now I'm taking on so much client work and...
Which is a good problem to have.
It is. It's monetarily, it is a good problem to have. But I also, like, my creative heart needs something else. And I've always secretly wanted to be an illustrator. So we'll see if I can find the time to build that muscle up.
So when you say illustrator, give me something else in mind when you say, like, illustrating. Like, what per se? Is this outside of lettering? Like, illustrating characters and stuff like that?
I don't know if I could go that far, but I do enjoy drawing.
Right.
And the publication world, like, when you're illustrating for books and stuff, is a whole different realm. Like, I don't even... But I went to art school, and I saw, you know... The only reason I didn't go into illustration was because it was the smart choice to go for design, right? That's where it's at right now. So, or where it was when I was in college. So just not so much for, oh, let me build an illustration business, but I want to get better at illustrating things.
I have actually currently working on a book, illustration book.
Oh, wow.
I've worked on one, not for me, but for a client. And this is my second one working on, and by far the most challenging projects I've ever had. Like, it is a lot of work.
Yes.
A lot of work. And to be honest, it's always, every time, no matter when I think I got it right, it's always underpriced.
Oh,
always.
It's, yes.
The level of work that's required for illustration project, it should never be under five figures.
Yeah.
Never. Should never be. And high five figures. Mm-hmm. Because the level of work that needs to go in, especially if it's like a book, multiple pages and stuff like that, it's a lot of work. So who would you say, give me some of your influences in the creative community, some of your influences
in the creative community? Well, I attended Peter Del Tondo's business workshop, which some of the stuff he talked about I kind of knew just from trial and error of doing my own. I was like, yeah, I kind of learned that lesson. But some of it was really good in how he structured things and how he deals with clients and finds work. It was very unique. So I look up to him from a business standpoint. And then creatively, I don't know. There's so many amazing artists here. It's hard to be like... just one.
Yeah, it's a lot of people here, and you know, it's good to kind of get to talk with, pick someone's brain. I was talking to someone and she's like super under the radar, like she doesn't have a lot of followers or anything like that, but like she is 100% full-time and like she's pushing serious gross. She's grossing serious money.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like serious money. Like, and she's like under the radar. So it's just like, and you know.
It's about making those relationships. You don't always have to be online and have followers if you have friends in the industry.
Like, the thing that I'm trying to learn, I'm noticing and I'm picking up on it, that because I know people on both spectrums. Mm-hmm. I know people that have a large amount of followers and are not really making any money. Like, quadruple times what I have.
I wasn't even on Instagram till like a year ago because I wanted to start practicing the lettering, and I felt it held me accountable if I was on there and I had to post and people saw it, you know, like... I wouldn't push it off until tomorrow because I was tired or client work got in the way.
Gotcha.
So I feel old because I've only had an Insta for a year. I mean, I thought it was just for teenagers. And then I finally got on there. I was like, oh, my gosh, there's all these amazing artists. Like, oh, where have I been? I've been living in a cave, apparently.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Like, but that's crazy. I think since I've been to the conference here, I would like to say about four people I ran into, like, either they've never used Instagram or they have no idea. They have an account, but they have no idea how to use it.
Oh, well, I at least understood how to use it.
I think you do. You do. You are a monster on social media. Monster.
I feel guilty sometimes, though, because if I have a really busy week, I won't post.
But I feel like what makes you so good is that I feel like you're doing it for the right reasons. Like, you're not necessarily out there trying to... Of course, full disclosure, everyone wants more followers.
Well, yeah.
Because, you know, in the long term, 10, 15 years from now, it's going to be of a greater value. Right?
Yeah.
The industry, it's going to, this whole idea of followers and stuff like that is going to be a way of how you're legitimized in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like when you're just not straight up after followers and you're just there like just...
I love following other artists and getting to see their styles or their artwork or what they're putting out, because I feel like when you build those relationships, you can get to some collaborative projects or artwork or ideas, and you just, you're really feeding each other. This is, you know, a Southern country fried restaurant. Everybody gets to eat from... what is it? The Curly Susan? What are those things called? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lazy Susan. That's what they're called.
Yeah.
And everybody's getting biscuits and everybody's good. You know, it doesn't have to be me or you.
Right.
Like, we can all have a seat at the table. And that's something I've learned through freelance is I don't have to be, like, knocking over my neighbor to get a client. I can be like, I can do this for you. And if you need a different price or... it's not in my wheelhouse. There is, you know, Joe next door who can, you know, who does web design and is awesome and he'll take care of you. And I feel like as a community and industry, if we build each other up like that, we'll all benefit.
I think I'll give you until next year. Next year, by next year this time, remember, it's stamped, it's approved by next year this time. I feel like you're just going to grow so much in the social media atmosphere.
Oh.
I feel
we'll see.
Nah,
I feel like an old person on social media.
Say again?
I feel like an old person. I live in a college town, so there's a lot of 12-year-olds walking around acting like college kids. And you hear them talk, and you're like, I am so old. Oh, my gosh. Like, I don't understand what they're saying. Or, like, I was listening to the radio on the way over with my commute because I didn't have Spotify or any that I usually listen to on the computer. And there was all these songs I didn't know who they were by because I hadn't listened to the real radio in so long.
That's crazy.
That's what happens when you freelance. You're sheltered. Because you're doing too much work and you don't keep up with the times.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's like catch 22. It's like you have to do what you got to do to get where you want to get, or just to simply make ends meet. You know what I mean? When the buck stops with you, it's like, forget about this other stuff. Like, I literally got to take care of my family.
Yes. And when the boys, my younger two, are 4 and he'll be 3 next month. So when they were babies, like, all I did was client work, babies, client work, babies, client work, babies. I didn't do anything. I didn't do choir. I didn't go to networking meetings. You know, I just had to do what I had to do to get through that season. And now we're kind of getting out of it. They're getting a little older. I get to do fun things like Creative South. You know, I get to have an Instagram.
All these little perks
it's
now.
It's like, ah!
All right, so as we get ready to close, Maria, how can people go, where can people go to learn more about you and what you're all about?
I have a website for client work, sunshinecreativeinc.com. I'm on Instagram as sunshinecreative_inc, and Twitter, Maria JB Design, because I've actually had Twitter for a long time. That's
Well, it was super awesome to have you on the podcast, and more importantly, it was super awesome to meet you. Like, y'all, Maria has been like a super supporter, and you know, she's just awesome, man. She's an awesome person, and go check her out that you can learn more about her, what she's doing. Maria, thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, guys, that was Maria Black, which she also has an awesome name. Like, that name is legit right there. That's like a staple. It sounds like some kind of staple. Maria Black.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Go to passionbeyondart.com to learn more about what's going on and to be a part of the Facebook group, the giveaways, and much more, especially the in-depth shows that's coming up. Those will be exclusive shows. They'll be very in-depth to a particular subject matter. All right, so go to passionbeyondart.com. Be blessed.